Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
We come before you today with just, we want to assume a posture of worship, Father. We want to come into your house and to praise your name. We want to sing your praises. We want to engage in prayer and fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And we ask that you be with our brother Cal as he opens the word and he preaches and teaches to us. Open our hearts that we may be transformed by what he is about to teach us this morning. It is in Jesus' name that that we pray, and all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Please be seated. Isn't God good?
All the time.
Thank you for being here today. It's good to see a lot of seats that are filled. We still have some empty seats right in here and right up here. I've noticed, you know, up here under the spout where the glory comes out, that's where normally most of the seats are, right here. So thank you all for being here today, though. It's always good. And congratulations, Brian. His girls' basketball team is on it again. There's no telling what God's going to do with them. And I personally, before we get going, I wanted to thank all of you. Some 45 of you showed up yesterday for the work day over at the His Works building. And it is looking fabulous. And got one of the pods emptied in, got some furniture in there. And Lauren's going to give our announcements today, and you'll hear more about that a little bit later. But I'm thankful for everything that God's doing. Now, this morning, we are in the very first sermon of a series on what I'm calling a spiritual breakthrough of surrender. Spiritual breakthrough. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be hearing and learning about what it means to surrender to Christ. I just saw the excitement in your faces. Oh, I can't wait. I've got to be here all 4 Sundays. Amen. But I just want to say a word about surrender. Dr. Adrian Rogers, one of my all-time heroes of the faith, passed away about 12 years ago, but about 10 years before that, he was preaching crusades over in Romania, which at the time was a communist country, and the pastors in the churches were under some persecution there. But Dr. Rogers was preaching every night in a crusade in Romania, and one of his interpreters was one of the main pastoral figures in Romania at the time, and his name was Pastor Joseph Tson, T-S-O-N. And before one of the nightly crusades, he and Dr. Rogers and Joseph Tson were traveling around, and Dr. Rogers said, "What do you think about the church in America?" And he said, "What do you see as the main difference between the Romanian church and the American church?" And Pastor Tson didn't miss a beat. And he said, "Well, the difference in the two churches in Romania and America are simply the difference between two words." And Dr. Rogers said, what are they? He said, commitment and surrender. And he said, what do you mean by commitment? And he said, Joseph Tson said, "Well, you know, we commit to all kinds of things. And the church in America commits to Bible study and memorizing scripture and tithing and visiting their members. And they commit to this and they commit to marriage and they commit to all these things. And really, commitment, the bottom line of commitment is this is something I control. This is something I do." And he said, "From time to time, we break our commitments." And Dr. Rogers said, "My, that's a good word. Well, what about surrender?" And he said, "Well, when you surrender to someone or something, you give up full control." And he gave the example of a gunman who was pointing a gun at someone, and he said, "Dr. Rogers, if a gunman if he just walked up to you and put a gun on you and told you to stick him up, you wouldn't begin to tell him what all you're committed to. You would raise both hands and surrender and do whatever he told you to do. And he said, that is what I see in the difference between the American church and the Romanian church. Surrender. I know that's not an American word. We don't like to surrender to anything or anybody, do we? But that's what Christ is looking for. Some folks who will surrender everything. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me hear those pages. Come on, you old school folks, if you brought your Bible. Now, some of you have a biblical device in your hand. Find 2 Timothy chapter 4. When you find it, we're going to read verse 6. Yes, yeah, stand as we honor God's word. Thank you. Man, listen to a life that was fully surrendered. Paul said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now listen to this. Watch this. Lean in now. Don't miss this. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Pray with me. Father, what a great passage of Scripture this is. Thank you for giving it to the Apostle Paul over 2,000 years ago. And Lord, as we read it, make it real to our hearts today. Help us, God, to come to a fresh, full surrender to Christ Jesus today. In His name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Can you tell I'm excited about the Word today? By the way, y'all, I can't get a message for you until I first get one for myself. And so all I do on Sunday morning is just kind of pass that blessing along to you, okay? God's already been jumping up and down on my toes. Well, anyways. So the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing to his son in the ministry, to Timothy, his second letter to Timothy. And Paul had hoped that he would get to see Timothy, but things had not quite worked out that way. And so he's writing to Timothy, and now I don't completely understand it, but somehow Paul knew that his days were numbered. He knew that death was knocking on that prison door that he was in, and that soon his ministry would be completed. He had more days behind him than he's got ahead of him. Hello? And so his instructions to Timothy were to encourage his young protege in the ministry to fully surrender to Christ Jesus. Isn't that something, you know, if you had a really trusted friend in the ministry, a trusted family member, and you knew that they were leaving, that they were about to die, wouldn't you listen to the last thing they had to say? Yeah, you would. And so here, Paul's giving some last-minute instructions, and they all had to do with surrendering to Christ. Now, first of all, look at verse 6. I want to just give you some quick truths this morning about what it means to be fully surrendered to Christ. First of all, it involves sacrifice. Verse 6, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now, Paul's looking back at his ministry, and he realized that, you know, in some ways, our ministry is about sacrifice. And Paul had made tremendous sacrifice, giving up personal freedom, financial security, family heritage. He'd given up all kinds of things, and he had laid his life. He was a, Romans 12, he was a living sacrifice, and now God's calling him to lay down his life as a sacrifice. If you don't believe all of this, listen to these verses over in 2 Corinthians. Man, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 24. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things which comes upon me daily. My deep concern for all the... And you think you've got problems. Let me tell you, sometimes it's tough in the ministry. And God does call us to make a sacrifice from time to time of our time, our talent, and our treasure. But I have come here today to tell you, whatever sacrifice that you give, it'll be worth it all when you see Jesus. Amen. Now, Paul says here, I'm not defeated. He just simply says, I'm departing. I'm not defeated, I'm departing. And that word departure is a really cool word. It speaks of a ship hoisting up its anchor so it can set sail for the horizon. Paul was setting sail for eternity, and he knew it. He had more days behind him than he had ahead of him. How many of you all are here? I can say that. I've got more days behind me than I got ahead of me. And I want to finish well. Hallelujah. And Paul said, man, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. Now, what you may not know about an offering was when a worshiper wanted to approach God and speak to God, on behalf, the priest would come and receive your offering, your sacrifice. And he would take that animal and lay it on the altar. And as the fire was consuming that sacrifice that you had brought as a worshiper, sometimes the worshiper, as an act of symbolism and an act of full and fresh surrender to the Lord, would bring him also the priest and give it, put in his hands a skin of wine. And then the priest would pour on that already sacrifice that it is already being consumed by fire. He would pour it on there, and this vapor, this steam would rise as a symbol of I am surrendering full control of my life to you. That's what Paul's saying. I'm being poured out as a drink offering. But don't you feel bad for me. I'm not defeated. I am departing. And the next face I'm going to see when I leave here is Jesus. Can I just say to you today, friend, everything that God asks you to do is a good thing. And he may ask you to do something tough. He may ask you to do something hard. He may ask you to do something, I don't understand this. But whatever the sacrifice is, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever God calls you to do, it will be worth it all when you see Jesus. Hallelujah. So what kind of sacrifice are you making today? How is it rolling with you today in your life with Christ? Are you willing to lay it all down? Can I just go ahead and tell you? God's got a better plan for you than you do for yourself. He's got all the knowledge. He's got all the wisdom. He's got all the strength. He's got all the power. He's got everything. He's got the whole world in his hands. Why are you trying to carry the world around? Hello? So we need to turn control of completely of things over to him. And it begins with living a life of sacrifice. Living a life of sacrifice. This is something that's kind of foreign to us. Amen? We think it ought to be easy. And that just because we're serving God, we're going to be blessed with good health and financial wealth and all these things. God's got a better plan. And so a fresh, full surrender begins with an attitude of sacrifice. Not my will, but thy will. And I'm setting sail for heaven. By the way, everybody, you do know we're not in the last days. We're in the last hours. We're going to see him soon. Now, what do you want to hear from him when you see him? Well, the things you're going to hear from him in a large part are determined about how you're living your life right now. What are you most focused on? What's number one in your heart? What's number one in your life? Sacrifice. Paul says, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. And in these last days that I've got, I want to give my life afresh and anew. And Timothy, that's what you need to do. Whew. That's a good word for the preacher. I don't know about for you, but that's a good word for me. Because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My home's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm setting sail. And I want God to be proud of the life that I lived. And I make that decision here today. Anybody with me? Yes. All right. Here's the second thing. A full surrender involves service. Now watch this. A full surrender involves not only sacrifice, but service. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now, Paul looks back on his ministry, and he quickly comes up with three metaphors, three pictures of what it means to serve God. And first of all, he says, man, I have fought a good fight. I've fought a good fight. Now, some Baptists really like a good fight. If you don't believe that, go visit some other church. But we are in a battle. Hello? This is not some playground, brothers and sisters. This is a battleground. And Paul had battled the devil and his demons, and yet Paul had won the victory because Christ had already won the victory for him. Jesus said, take heart. I have overcome the world. And I want to tell you, whatever battle you've got to fight, God's in it with you. And you're going to be victorious. Satan's kingdom came crashing down at Calvary. His back was broken at the cross. And by the way, you can't keep glory in a grave. And Jesus is alive forevermore, assuring us the victory. Hallelujah. Paul said, man, I fought the good fight. And then he said, I have run the race. Now, oftentimes, the Christian life is looked at as a race that we're in. You know, Hebrews 12, and I could go on and on with that. But in a lot of ways, we're in this race, and Paul had pretty much run his race. He'd run the distance. He'd kept all the rules, and he was about to finish the course that God had laid out for him. Now, can I just ask you point blank today? Y'all know how blunt I am. Forgive me. How are you running? Who are you running for? Who are you running with? Jesus has run the race for us, and now he's in the race with us. Hallelujah. My goodness. How are you running your race? And by the way, young people, listen to me. This race of faith that we're in, It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. I was at a prayer conference yesterday, and I was so blessed. I met a young man. Is Laura Vaden here? She's in the back. Okay, she's serving. All right. Anyways, I met Knox. I think his name's Thomas. Knox. Anyways, this kid's in middle school in the sixth grade, and he has led six of his middle school buddies to Christ. Hallelujah. You see, what Knox knows is he's in a race, and he's running, and he's going to run for Jesus. And by the way, we're in a race, the race of faith, and God tells us in his word that we're to run with perseverance the race that was set before us, looking unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. How are you running today? And then thirdly, Paul says, I have kept the faith. Now, that word kept is a very interesting word. And it speaks of a steward or a manager guarding the deposit that's been given to him. I have kept, I have guarded, I have watched over the gift of faith that you've given me. By the way, you do know that your salvation is a gift from God. If he has saved you, you didn't deserve it, you didn't do anything to get it, you didn't merit it, God just gave it to you and you received it by faith. And Paul said, I have kept this gift. I have guarded this gift. I have done everything I know to take care of it. And by the way, when you get saved, God makes a deposit in the person of the Holy Spirit in you. And so when he does that, you have everything that you have that you need to live a righteous, holy life. And Paul had run the race, and he had kept the faith, and he had fought the good fight. And so at the end of life, and by the way, what do y'all want your life to look like when you look back on it? Parents, what do you want your children to say about you when you're gone? Kids, what do you want your teachers and your coaches and your parents to say about you when you graduate? We got graduation coming up. You see, are you beginning to understand those three metaphors? We're in a battle. We're in a race. It's already been won. All we got to do is follow the pace setter. And we need to keep that which has been given to us by faith. And by the way, you can't keep yourself saved any more than you can get yourself saved. That's a gift of faith. My. And so once you have lived, when you are living a life of sacrifice and a life of service to the Lord, here's the last one. A full surrender involves a stimulus. Watch this. Look at verse 8. Whoo, finally. Say finally with me. Finally. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Tell somebody, he's talking about you. Now watch this. He says, I will receive this prize, this reward, for fighting the good fight, for fighting the good fight, for keeping the faith, for running the race. I'm going to receive this reward, this prize. And the one who's going to give it to me is the righteous judge. Now, who is that? All judgment is given to the Lord Jesus. And so at the end of Paul's life, he's going to receive a crown. Now, this is not the royal crown, the diadem. This is the victor's crown, the Stephanos. And it brings up the picture of an athlete who's been victorious in a contest, and they would bring a wreath, a kind of a crown-like wreath on him for winning. And so Paul said, man, I'm going to receive the crown of righteousness. Well, what is the crown of righteousness? It's simply acclamation, adoration for living a righteous, faithful life. You see, God's judging you not on everything you've done, but just how faithful you are. That's how God judges a church. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. For some reason or other, y'all knew that you needed to be found in worship with God's people today. That's faithfulness. And it speaks volumes to your neighbors when you leave the house on Sunday morning and they see y'all decked out in your, well, in your Tennessee Volunteer shirt and you show up at work. It speaks volumes. I get so sick of hearing that. Well, I don't believe you got to come to church to worship God. I don't believe you have to use soap when you take a bath. You know? That's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. Faithfulness. Faithfulness, the crown of righteousness. And it's going to be handed out. Now, and watch this. The righteous judge is going to give it to us, this crown of righteousness, for everyone who has lived a faithful, righteous life. Jesus is going to reward you to do what He gave you to do and helped you to do and encouraged you to do and blessed you to do, and then He's going to reward you. How are you going to beat that? You can't beat that. And He's going to give you this crown of righteousness. And then you know what you're going to do with that crown? You're going to lay it at His feet. I hope some of you and all of you have a crown to lay at His feet. Don't you live a wasted life. Don't you live a life that is going to burn up. Hallelujah. Now, the last part of this. Oh, by the way, I said a minute ago, the things that you're going to hear from Jesus is determined by how you're living your life right now. And here's I don't know what you all want to hear, but in Matthew 25, the master comes back home and is passing out rewards. And he says to two of the servants, this is the parable of the talents. He says, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. He says, you've done a lot with a little, and now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your salvation. Don't you think when you get to heaven, you're done? You're going to keep serving Jesus. He's going to give you places to serve, positions of honor. Hallelujah. And then this crown of righteousness, how am I going to do that? How am I going to live a righteous and faithful life? Well, here's what your pastor does. I get up on Monday mornings, wore plumb out. Usually got 3 or 4 meetings on Monday morning. And by noon, I'm thinking, you know, not some real good thoughts. But then it always dawns on me, Jesus could come today. And I ought to be living my life as if He died yesterday afternoon, rose last night, and He's coming this morning. And if you will live looking for that blessed hope and the appearance of the glory, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, bless God, you will one day hear those words, well done. Good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your salvation. Don't you want to hear that? And so what we need to do here today, Second Mile Church, is surrender. Quit committing to all these things that we're going to not commit to. Because I'm in control when I commit to something. But when I give up, Father, I'm yours. Not my will, but yours. I turn control of everything in my life over to you. You can handle it. There was a pastor up in New York City several years ago by the name of Bruce. I'm having trouble remembering his last name. Anyways, he had a church up in New York City. He had an office downtown. He was bivocational. And sometimes people in his church and people affiliated with the church would come by the office to see him. And sometimes some of these folks were really struggling with what we're talking about, surrendering to Christ. And Bruce would, when he saw the struggle that they were in, he would take them down to Fifth Avenue to the RCA building. And he would take that person in, and right inside the door there was Atlas. Huge statue of Atlas. Y'all know who Atlas is or was? Not a real person, but he had muscles on top of muscles. And I mean, he was considered to be the strongest person in the universe. And so there's this statue of Atlas as you walk into the RCA building. But he is under a burden. Every muscle in his body is straining because he's got the whole world on his shoulders. And Bruce would always say to one of these people that had questions, "What's that look like for you? Living under that kind of burden?" And then he'd say, "But I've got another thing I want to show you." And right across the street was St. Patrick's Cathedral. And when you walk in that door, behind the altar, there is another statue of the boy Jesus when he was 9, 10, 11 years old, something like that. And Jesus is very easily standing there, and he's got the whole world in one hand. And Bruce would always look at them and say, "Which one do you want? You want to bear the weight and the burden of the entire world by trying to control everything? Or do you want to surrender to Christ and let him bear your burden?" And that's kind of where we are this morning. God's looking for some 100%ers who are willing to lay it all on the line, living a life of sacrifice, service, and surrender. Let's pray together. Father, this is your time. It's not Cal Hampton's time. It's your time. And if the conviction of the Holy Spirit is on our church family today, God, I was a 25-year-old man when you got a hold of me about this surrendering my life to you. And I got under conviction about it, great conviction. And Lord, since that time, I've taken a few steps backward, but for the most part, God, I've surrendered control of my life to you. Not because of who I am, but because of who you are. And I believe there's folks here like that today. And I believe there's some people here, Lord, that we would call believers, but they're backslidden. They hadn't been in worship in a while. They hadn't been in their Bibles. Hadn't been on their knees in prayer. And you have brought them here today for a fresh, full surrender. And so in the quietness of this moment, this is your time to hit an old-fashioned altar and say, "Lord, not my will, but thy will." Whatever time I've got left, however many days I've got, this is your time. And I turn control of everything. My finances, my family, my business, my farm, whatever. I give it all to you. Thank you for helping me to surrender today. And some of you are here, and you're a church member, you've been baptized, but you're not any more saved than a man in the moon. You don't really have a saving relationship with Christ. You're not walking with Him. You're not talking with Him. You're not where you need to be. And you know it, and God knows it. Can I just tell you, God is waiting on you to receive Him by faith today, to turn from your sin and to turn to Christ by faith and ask Him to save your soul today and surrender to Him as the Lord of your life. I don't know what God wants to do, but we always have an altar call every Sunday here. And there'll be people here to receive you. There'll be folks who will pray with you. If you need counseling, there'll be people here to do that. I want to pray for you, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. If God has spoken to your heart about any of these issues, you get up and come. Father, I lift my brothers and my sisters up. Forgive us, God, for playing church. Forgive us, God, for being one thing on Sunday and something else on Monday. Do a work here in this place with my brothers and sisters. I remember what that was like for me as a 25-year-old. And there's some here that need to make the same decision. Then there are others, Lord, that need to begin a life of surrender. That need to be saved. That need to call on Jesus as the only means of their salvation and having a relationship with you. Oh, I pray this in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Quietly, let's all stand reverently, and we're going to sing. And you come, we'll pray with you. Whatever you need, we're right here for you.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.